last time. Really quick. We talked about the biblical perspective on teaching Torah to Gentiles. We talked about Avram and the Nefesh HaShasu B'Charan. We talked about Mamlechet Kohanim. And we talked about Or LaGoyim. All of these sources seem to indicate a very positive attitude towards teaching to the non-Jews. And we'll get back to that. We then brought up the Talmudic idea. At first, we seemed like, yeah, great. A guy who learns Torah, he's like a Talmud, he's like a Kohen Gadol. But then we saw the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nintet Amun Aleph, where this really starts, which says that a guy who learns Torah is Chayv Mita. And we thought that was scary. Mm-hmm. And it's from this, don't read it in Morash, Shah rather, Mu'urasa. We have a heritage and we're married to the Torah. Okay. And then we pointed out that there's some sukkim in the Chumash which also seem to indicate a more narrow attitude, like don't be like the Gentiles, be, you know, Am Levadad Yishkon. And we have to find the balance between these two values, you know, openness in teaching the world, Mamlechet Kohanim, and having preserving our own unique Jewish identity. We ended off, then we mentioned the Gemara in Chagiga, which says not just an obligation that the Gentiles can't learn Torah, but we can't give Torah to the Gentiles. Amar of Amri, in Mosrim Devei Torah over to Chachamim, we don't give Torah over to the non-Jews. Shanem lo asachem l'chol goyim shvatim ba'idahum. So it's not just on them, but we have to be careful. And then we noted that there might be an exception for Gentile, for Gerim. As we see with the story with Hillel, where he's willing to teach Torah to a non-Jew. I would add, by the way, there's an in-between category of someone who's not a Ger, or not studying to be a Ger necessarily, but is Zera Yisrael. Have you heard of this phrase, Zera Yisrael?
No. I mean, I know what the phrase means, but
yeah.
I
don't know what it means. No, so it means is like they've got a Jewish father, or they're Jewish family. We know they come back Jewish. They're not halachically Jewish, but there's a mitzvah according to many posts in like Rav Eliyashiv and others. It comes up a lot in NCSY with people who have fathers who are Jewish. So there's a mitzvah to makar of them.
Really?
Yeah. So according to many. So they would be a different category.
And they would have to convert.
They would have to convert, but there's a mitzvah to like bring them in as opposed to our like maybe yes, maybe no attitude towards some Gentiles. And that came up in my life because we went to visit the lost tribes. It's one of our hobbies. During Pesach, we might go again to a new lost tribe. And we went to the Lemba one year, we went to the Bnei Ephraim another year in India and in Zimbabwe. And they are not halachically Jewish, but they are our brothers. They consider themselves Jewish, and they have traditions that go back way back. And they, one of them, at least, considers themselves lost tribes, and there's good reason to believe they are. Genetically, they have like the Cohen gene higher than Ashkenazim. It's really interesting. And they were very welcoming and loving, and they do many Jewish practices, like they slaughter the lamb, and it was really cool. They put the blood on the doorpost.
Wow.
Which is even cool for a vegetarian like me. So there was almost no question that we were going to teach them Torah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all the Torah, we'll talk about that, but that's in terms of the Ger problem. Okay. Anyway, so what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the Usher camp, which is, I guess, the classical camp. Then we're going to talk about the maybe camp. I don't know. It depends on the situation. And then we're going to talk about the pro camp. You know, sum up and say where I'm at it on terms of this. Okay, so the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam writes, Alkum Shasak Vatayra Chayv Mita. Whoa. Lo Yasok Ela B'Shev Mitzvah Shalem Belvad. Like we talked about before, they can learn the seven mitzvahs. They should learn the mitzvahs, but they should not learn their own Torah. That's not such a big chiddush. But the Rambam says, "Kol shadavar eimenich notam lechadesh dat v'lasot mitzvot l'atzman midatam." We don't let them make their own religion. Okay? Mm-hmm. Why not? No. Well, we know why we don't want them to make their own religion. But what's the chiddush here in terms of the placement of the Rambam, in terms of the rationale, why a non-Jew cannot learn Torah? Why don't we teach a non-Jew Torah? What are we worried about? Seemingly by the juxtaposition of these two laws, what's the Rambam implying? What are we afraid if they're going to learn Torah? What's the next thing that they're going to do? Again, Klal Shadavar.
They're
going to create their own religion. Exactly. We're afraid that they're going to make their own version of Judaism when they learn Torah, and that's
the situation. They're going to break off the situation.
Exactly. So that's one possible fear of what the issue is. Another possible issue is mentioned by the Midrash Tanchuma. Midrash Tanchuma says, the reason the oral law was not put in writing was so that it would not suffer the same fate as the written Torah, which was usurped by the Gentiles. Meaning to say that originally we weren't allowed to write down the oral Torah. Why can't we write down the oral Torah? Why can't we write down the Gemara? What's going to happen?
Used by the gun.
They're going to take it, they're going to water it down, they're going to use it against us, or maybe they won't use it against us, but they're going to play with
taint it.
Yeah, they're going to taint it. So apparently the fear is that they're going to do the same thing here. Okay. Similarly, Moshe Ben Chaim, who's I think a modern-day Kabbalist, writes, it should be understood why the punishment is so severe. If a Gentile learns Torah other than what applies to his seven Noahidic laws, by doing so, the Gentile then blurs the line of who is a Torah authority. And this done en masse will destroy Torah, as other Gentiles not fit to teach will proliferate ignorant rulings. Only by the rabbi-student teaching discussed in the Jewish times, Jewish times. But the point is, the rabbi-student will be ruined if we have in mass Gentiles learning the Torah and teaching Torah. And that was the fear. It's certainly plausible and reasonable. On another level, there's a Kabbalistic perspective. Okay, so we'll start off with the Zohar. Okay, the Zohar writes, source E. Want to read for us?
Hume teaches that even a tiny letter of Torah is as if he destroyed the world. According to the Zohar, when a Jew studies Torah, the upper and lower worlds were joined together in a cosmic union where all existence was sustained. If a non-Jew studies Torah, it represented an intrusion and caused a link between the eternal and earthly worlds to be severed. The Shla, Rav Abuhav, and many other Kabbalists also wrote against teaching Torah to Gentiles.
Awesome. So what's going on here is that according to the Zohar, when you're learning Torah, right now when we're learning Torah together, the Shekhinah is mamash of the room, and there's a divine union, almost a sexual type of union, which is something, it's not exactly, but that type of like very intimate.
A oneness
and intimacy. When a Gentile gets in the mix, kind of messes with that.
Yeah.
And that's why, from a Kabbalistic perspective, at least originally, there seems to be a fear of letting them, of letting them get involved. Okay?
Yeah.
And the Sefer HaChassidim, on similar lines, writes, it's forbidden to even teaching the alphabet to non-Jews. This will prevent abuses by potential anti-Semites. I guess that's more in the Midrash Tanchuma that the anti-Semites are going to use it against it. But there are definitely, you know, Hasidim who would definitely go along that line and are very against teaching Torah to Gentiles because it's an intrusion. Now, Tosos also, by the way, I would put in that camp. Of in general, we assume it's Osir, the Gemara says Osir, it's Osir. Okay, we have to respect that. That is definitely an approach.
Yeah.
However, as we'll see, there's another approach, and that's the depends on the situation. There are many rabbis that were machalic and said, well, not in every situation do we posken that it's a problem to teach Torah to Gentiles, but only in certain scenarios. So, for example, the Rambam, that same Rambam that we just quoted in his Shoot, interestingly wrote that the prohibition was intended only for Gentiles who don't affirm the divinity of the scriptures, since they may distort the Torah's meanings. Christians who believe in the divinity of the scriptures can be taught Torah, while Muslims cannot. But fascinatingly, the Rambam would say, you can teach a Christian Torah, can't teach a Muslim Torah, because the Christians accept our Bible, or at least, and they add on more stuff, but the Muslims mess with the Bible. So you can't teach a Muslim, but you can teach a Christian. Really interesting. Yeah. Whereas the Rambam in another place writes, in Maisa Korbanos, it's a mitzvah to teach a non-Jew the halachas of offering Korbanos if he intends to bring them. So apparently, not just the seven laws narrowly defined, but apparently a non-Jew can bring a Korban, so they need to know the laws of Korbanos and all that stuff. So there's a lot more that we can add to what they can learn. The Marsha, Shmuel Edel's, right, the famous commentary on the Gemara, says that this is only applies to the secrets of Torah. You can't teach them Torah because that, you know, certain the basics you can teach them, but the certain mystical doctrines, I think that's what he means by the secrets of the Torah, or maybe certain agadata, going deeper, that we leave between us and the Jewish people. Right? Because there has to be some special link between us. That's our morasha. We can't just teach them anything. And that's what he starts enough from the word Moser Torah. He didn't give it over. You can teach it, but you're not going to give over the depth. So actually, Rav Shlomo says something similar. In Moser Torah. We wouldn't give it over. Oh, well, I brought it down. I can teach it to them, Rav Shlomo says, but I can't give it to them. I can't give it over to them. Sometimes you might have a great rabbi who can teach the entire Torah, but he doesn't give over anything. That's just Rav Shlomo going on a tangent. But the point is that you can make that distinction. Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, who is what's called a super commentary. It doesn't just mean he's super, it means he comments on Rashi. Okay? He wrote that the prohibition would only apply if you, meaning if you really are stuck, then you can give over Torah. But if you're in a, you know, messy situation, I don't think it means kuach nefesh. It means like, you know, you're in an awkward situation, your boss asked you, then you can give over Torah.
Yeah.
Similarly, Shagas Aryeh wrote that in an offhanded manner, as long as you're not trying to go out of your way to teach Torah, it's okay. Now, the real important question is, what about the Shulchan Aruch? What about the Torah? And fascinatingly enough, neither the Torah nor the Shulchan Aruch bring this down halacha l'maaseh. There's some who want to make an argument that no, it's included in other laws, because I believe the Shulchan Aruch talks about teaching Torah to a Canaanite, something like that. I believe there are those who want to make a suggestion, but l'fi ha'pashtus, they don't bring it down, which means they think it's maybe an idea, but they're not sure how to apply it l'maaseh. So that opens the door to a more lenient perspective. Moshe Feinstein, for example, has a long, long, long tshuva. I think he actually has several tshuvas where he was asked about this issue. One issue is exactly we're talking about Pesach.
Moshe Feinstein gives a great answer.
Oh. What's the svara? Why does he allow us to...
That one is allowed to teach Torah to Jews while a non-Jew is listening. And for this reason, you're allowed to conduct a Seder with a non-Jew in attendance.
Exactly. Otherwise, and that was exactly what he was asked. Otherwise, I can't... Otherwise, what we're doing right now is Mamash Aser. Why?
Is Mamash Aser?
Mamash Aser, if not for this promotion. Why?
Right this second?
Yeah. Promotion is allowing us to do this, what we're doing right now. Right this second. Why? Because I'm going to be putting this in YU Torah. And YU Torah, there are a lot of Gentiles that listen to YU Torah. Right? So, now, Mr. Gentile out there, you'll see by the end of this year that I'm cool with you listening to this. Don't worry. But in the meantime, my main intention is to give it over to my brother Sammy and my mom, who are my only two followers. But they're Jewish, as far as I know. And if not, then I'm not Jewish, then I have to worry about it. The point is that for this reason, YU Torah would be okay. Would YU Torah put out a Mashir which says that they're Osir? It's a good kasha. It's up to you, Mr. YU Torah. All right, so we saw that there is the in-between camp. A lot of rabbis are in that category. I only brought a few examples, but probably the majority of rabbis say, well, there's more. I forgot to mention it. It keeps going. The Netziv said, well, oral law can't be taught, but Rav David Tzvi Hoffman the same thing, but Chumash you can teach them. And the Meiri also made a key distinction. The Meiri said, if they're just learning for intellectual curiosity, then you don't teach them Torah. But if they're learning to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it's okay.
Really?
Yeah, which seems to be the opposite of what the Rambam was saying.
Yeah.
The Rambam was saying we're scared. The Meiri also kind of says different things in different contexts. In another context, he writes that the reason is that we're afraid that they're going to get confused for Jews. People are going to confuse them for Jews.
Mm.
Which dafka could be a chumrah. Because like, let's say you're in a public school system, you have a non-Jewish kid there. You dafka wouldn't be able to teach that kid because people don't know if he's Jewish or not.
Yeah.
Or my lost tribe situation. So in that case, he's stringent. But here, he's saying he's lenient. The Meiri, not everyone Paskins takes into account into halachic discourse because he wasn't discovered till later. So like Rav Soloveitchik said, we don't bring him into the equation, but at least it's interesting. Okay. Now Rav Halfan brings a fascinating approach. He says we should teach Torah to Christians, Why? Because otherwise, well, they're learning Torah anyway. But they're learning Torah from distorted sources. So if we teach them Torah, they'll get the right thing. I thought that was a very interesting argument. I thought that was really cool. Now, a few more. Now we're moving to the pro-teaching Torah camp. No, you know, pretty much it's almost anything goes. So Rav Avadya Sforno. So Sforno in general is a really fascinating humanist. Lived, I believe, in Italy. And actually I was thinking of starting to learn his parish, Kavua. And the Sforno had a chavruta with a preacher, Johann Reichlin, who later ended up defending the Talmud against detractors in Germany and helping to save lives.
Sforno had a Ruch Kodesh.
Who knows? Maybe. So the Sforno is definitely in the pro-teaching Torah camp. Menachem ben Israel is a famous Jewish philosopher. He also had a chavruta with Jan Sidon. I forgot to mention, by the way, there are opinions in the Gemara. There are rabbis in the Gemara who also seem to have discussions with Gentiles. The most famous of which is, what famous Jewish and non-Jewish friendship was there? Rebbe and... blanking on it. Non-Jewish guy. I forgot. And then he would always ask him, am I going to go to hell? Am I considered... And Rebbe and the Gemara said, no, you're different. You're a different category. And they would learn.
Wow.
So it does seem to be, even from the time of the Gemara, that this is not a cut, like, everyone forbade it. It seemed to already be from Talmudic times of Machloket. And throughout Jewish history, there seems to be Machloket, or those who forbade it and who were very against it, and those who were at a more open-minded approach. So, and this is actually maybe one of the more surprising people in the camp. Come, join us. You'll get the conclusion, the most important part. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Founder of what?
Muster Movement.
The Muster Movement. So, you know, you'd think Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is kind of a stark dude. You wouldn't necessarily put him in the camp of those who are going to teach Torah to non-Jews. But yet, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter advocated for the translation of the Talmud and an introduction to the university curriculum. Why? Why did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter do that? Why would he do such a thing?
We're
in the second to last page.
Okay.
With F. Don't worry about it. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that we want to raise the reputation of Torah amongst the Gentiles. Because then what's going to happen? Then the Jews will think more highly of this Torah.
Oh.
Right? Once the Gentiles are studying it, they'll be like, oh, in North Korea they study Talmud. It must be pretty chashuv. We should also study Talmud. Yeah? So that was his actually kavanah, that they'd get into it, we get into it. And indeed, there are many Orthodox Jewish professors who teach Talmud in campuses following Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's lead. Another famous great modern rabbi, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, also, we brought him up earlier in the year in a different, very famous tshuva. You guys remember? The three-day ish.
Oh yes, about, second?
This the three-day ish is Rabbi
Yaakov. Yeah, Rabbi yeah Rabbi they are the same. Yeah, kind of one place I quote
him. So try to remember, why did we quote him? Yeah.
It's very important this time of year. Prince of Egypt.
Ten Commandments.
Kolisha.
I knew I was going to say, but that was not so early. That was like a lot of weeks ago.
Sorry. The three-day ish is the main posek who's NTSY and you know Bnei Akiva are relying upon. Because he was leaning about Kolisha. And he was also actually a friend of Rav Soloveitchik. They learned together. And Rav Soloveitchik very much respected him. He said he basically read in everything. So the Sridi Ish wrote, if a person learns out of a pure desire to know the Torah of the Jewish people, he isn't chayiv. If a person is learning purely for scholarly person's purposes, it's okay too. He permitted himself to teach Talmud at university. It could be there in even an aspect of Kedah Hashem. In my opinion, it is fitting to put an end to the hatred of the religions for each other. More than Christianity hates Judaism, Judaism hates Christianity. Whoa. So, the 3D Ish, what's he saying? I think he's saying something a little bit more revolutionary than the other postkins.
It's making Kiddush Hashem here. It's an opportunity to show the non-Jews that we love them.
Oh, to go. It's not just like it's okay, but no, we should go out and teach Torah to the non-Jews. Mm-hmm. It's almost going full circle. We're going back to that biblical mandate of Mamlechet Kohanim, of Orla Goyim, where after all these years of Golos and being scared and afraid, now that there's radiation saying, you know what, we dafka should go and teach them our Torah and our values so that they'll come to respect us and we'll, we should be able to show our love. Similarly, J.D. Blake has a very long article on this topic, if you want a really in-depth version, and he too paskins at the end of the day that while we're not obligated to go disseminate Torah, you know, I don't have to run around and teach everyone Tosfos, right? But at the end of the day, if someone asks me for Torah, I should send them that Torah. Mm. Jews are commanded to disseminate Torah as widely as possible among their fellow Jews, but there is no obligation to seize the initiative in teaching the Seven Commandments, Noahites. Nevertheless, when the information or advice is solicited, there is definite obligation to respond. When the non-Jew takes the initiative in posing a query, the Jew must respond to the best of his ability. Okay, good. And now, Mamish going full circle, the Lubavitch Rebbe, who anybody who's read the Tanya knows, it's all Kabbalistic. It's Mamish, all Kabbalah. And the Lubavitch Rebbe definitely knows his Kabbalah, and he knows that there were definitely, you know, sources against teaching Torah to the Gentiles. But the Lubavitch Rebbe wrote, in the Messianic era, the sole occupation of the entire world, Gentiles as well, will be only to know God, as the waters cover the sea. This means that the knowledge of God, knowledge and comprehension will envelop and conceal the existence of Gentiles until it becomes their new entire being. Thus, in order to prepare for this state of existence, some parallel to this must exist even now, by the Torah in a comprehensible form being found amongst Gentiles as well. So as a precursor to the Mashiach coming, he believed that it was our obligation to start spreading Torah to the non-Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, again, does that mean that we have to start teaching all Torah? No,
doubtful. I mean, why Torah? It could be one of those, like, kind of, meaning it doesn't ask you for your Jewish passport number when you go to listen to a
Exactly.
Shiur.
Exactly, absolutely. And again, I think, and the Lubavitchers actually go out there and they make it their business to teach the seven Noahide laws to everyone they can. And I think they're right. I actually remember asking Aaron on a Q&A a couple of years ago, like, we're supposed to be an Or LaGoyim, like, why aren't we doing more? You know? I was thinking of Gil Locks, who, like, spends so much time at the Kotel making videos.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And teaching Torah to non-Jews.
Gematria legend.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's great. And you should go to him for a shot. If you haven't gotten, you really should. He's fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you in the room?
Yeah.
I'll give you his number if you want.
He's a guy.
After a shoot. So, Gevalt. So Rav Aaron's answer is, and Achanami, you're right. We should teach Torah to the non-Jews. We should do more, and we're not doing enough.
I think like Rav Aaron said that, like, a lot of his followers are happen not to be
Jewish. Yeah, absolutely. Kavala to Shlomo Karlbach, just to finish off with Shlomo, says, we say three times a day that our job is to fix the world, the Tekinat Olam. That means it's our responsibility to fix the world. The essence of Am Yisrael is to fill all the world with tzedek, of Hashem, with the light of Hashem, which includes within it all of what is good and ethical. Shlomo Karlbach, a survivor of the Holocaust, who could have experienced so much hatred and could have, you know, been so angry, but instead Shlomo chose to come with those eyes of love and compassion, and he went and did concerts which are all non-Jews. You know, and there are a few Jews who ended up filtering too, but his attitude was that in the world we live in, we need to take a different approach. And this is one of my biggest discoveries in my Shan Aleph. When I came to Shan Aleph, I was really struggling with the Torah approach towards women, towards Gentiles, and oral Torah in general. And I can't tell you that I found an answer to all of my questions. But what I found is that there are great Jewish thinkers in our tradition who were bothered and struggling with the same issues that I was struggling with. And there were bold rabbis like Soloveitchik, like Rav Shlomo, and other, like Rav Cook and others, who are willing to take a new approach. And so I thought to myself, I could either continue to be skeptical and, like, you know, fight against, or I could realize, yeah, there's opinion A, but there's other opinions, and I can get involved in the game and kind of help in this journey, you know, towards the truth. And I believe that, for me personally, I don't hold back. Again, I don't go out and teach Tosfos to Gentiles, but yeah, if I'm offered an opportunity to teach Torah to Gentiles. I used to have Gentiles come to my non-Jew to my Shabbos meals. I still sometimes take big groups of Gentiles, and it's been a wonderful experience. I've met amazing Gentiles. Some of them I still keep up with, who have awesome questions, who are on the journey, who make Kiddush Hashems, who meet Jews, who teach other, you know. I had a group of Gentiles, of Amish Chevra, who wanted to start keeping Shabbos. I had this guy who came to one of my Shabbos meals, who I don't know how teaching Torah a Shabbos meal did this, but he decided to go do chesed. And I've had amazing experiences meeting sincere Gentiles. Now, again, there is this Isur. Personally, I would be of the camp to say this Isur was meant at a time when there was anti-Semitism, when there was, fears of, you know, if we let the secret out, you know, what's going to happen. But nowadays, the Torah's out there anyway. The Torah's on the internet. The Torah's available. So the question is, are we going to be involved in teaching Torah, the Torah the right way, with the love and the warmth and the Torah perspective, or are they going to get it from some other source and they're going to have a distorted view? I think we need in our generation to love the Gentiles more, and I think when you love others, they will love you back. And I think as much as possible, we need to actively be involved in teaching Torah, not just teaching Torah formally through Shirim, but teaching Torah through our love, through our technology, through our chesed, and the State of Israel is amazing at doing that, and going to the world and making Kiddush Hashems, and I think the more the better. Which is why I might be going to Rwanda for Pesach.
Rwanda?
Rwanda.
Okay.
Is Darim awesome?
For to do Seder with the Jews of Rwanda, but I'm sure we'll meet some good hope. When I was in Africa, I would walk around with the Mishnah Berurah, and everyone would think I'm like a preacher. I meet all these great Christians and have great conversations. And Zat Hashem. Shkoyach Chevra, it's been a great zman learning Torah together with you guys.